Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Ghost Ninja Raccoon. This is your intermittently recorded horror movie recap podcast where I, CG, retell you the story of a horror movie that I watched in 30 minutes or less. We are in February of 2021. Oh, it's 2/21/21. That probably means something in like numerology or some shit. I should look it up, but I'm not. I'm gonna just in my spirit know that it means something. This date, this time, these numbers all together. But anyway, it's February. We are at about the end of Black History Month, although it's Black History every month. Okay. I'm raising my fist. Y'all can't see it. And I'm telling you about movies that is not even starring Black people. I'm sorry, y'all. I did watch a whole bunch of movies with Black people over this course of the month, but I didn't watch them with the kind of eye that I need to tell y'all about it later. Like, I can tell y'all some quick hits, but I'm gonna miss all the important details. So I will probably release a Black History Month episode in like March or April, because like I said, it's Black History every month. Yeah. Also, what else is going on in the world today? We're still in the middle of a pandemic. Corona has not gone away, although our infection rate has declined greatly in our great state of Michigan, thanks to our amazing governor. But people are still getting that shit and being reckless out here in these streets. Restaurants have opened to 25% capacity at the time of this recording, and the vaccines are out. Two of them, the Moderna and the Pfizer one, they're giving all the O's right now. The O's is getting it. The first responders are getting it, and I think they're getting ready to open it up to start getting teachers and school administrators vaccinated. Johnson & Johnson's vaccine is, I think, in FDA approval currently. It's only 60% effective at preventing you from contacting the virus when in the proximity of it, which is really not that great. However, it does keep you from getting it really bad. And I guess it's 100% effective at keeping you from dying. So you might get it, but you won't die. So, I mean, that's good. I still would rather just not get it. I would just rather not get it. So I'm not going to get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine when my time come up to get it. It's going to be a while before I could get it, but I'm definitely not going to get that one, is all I'm saying. I will be happy when I can get it, because I'm tired of being in the house. It's like, I'm not tired of being, you know, doing my own shit. I'm not definitely not tired of working from home. I hope that continues forever. But I'm tired of not being able to just like go do shit I want to do when I want to do it. I'm tired of not hearing live instruments outside of my house, besides what my son is having band at 1:15 every day, and he got to play saxophone in the dining room. Like, yeah. But, you know, I'm alive and I'm safe, and I could be a little bit more reckless and enjoy life a little bit more. I just don't think it's worth it. I got some olds, and I got a kid, and he has a separate family that got whole, you know, his dad and his step family, they got kids and other people over there. Like, I can't risk infecting everybody because I want to go get some drinks in the street and shit. I got some drinks at home. So now that I've got that shit off my chest, I hope you all are doing fine. And I'm getting ready to tell you about two wonderful movies, each movie in 30 minutes or less. So the first movie I'm going to tell you about is Castle Freak. This is a remake in 2020, not the original movie from the 90s. And then I'm also going to tell you about this movie called Anything for Jackson. Both of these films are available to stream right now on Shudder. So if you have Shudder, you can watch them. And if you don't have Shudder, you can just listen to me tell you about them, which is probably the only reason that you're listening to this. So hold on. I'm going to be right back to tell y'all about our movies. Hey y'all. All right. Movie number one for this episode is Castle Freak. The original Castle Freak came out in 1990 and it starred Barbara Crampton and Jeffrey Combs. If any of y'all saw Get Out, Barbara Crampton was the mom in Get Out. Not Get Out. I'm sorry. You're Next. How did I get those two confused? What are they two name titles? And in both movies I love. Anyway, You're Next. She was the mom. She was the mom in the original Castle Freak. So this one is a remake. Jeffrey Combs also starred in a film series called The Reanimator, which is important for a little tidbit they drop at the end of post credit of this new movie. So the original, the Newcastle Freak, and it pretty much keeps to the same story. You know, they change a few things here and there, but overall, you know, this shit's the same, except for minor details. So let me tell you the synopsis of the 2020 Castle Freak. After inheriting a castle from her long-lost mother, a recently blinded girl learns that her family harbored dark secrets with deadly implications. This movie is 1 hour and 45 minutes. As I said, it is was released in 2020, available on Shudder. It has, I think, 4 stars out of 5 on Amazon Prime, and then it's 4.3 out of 10 on IMDb. So my pre-ninja rating on this was like 1 ninja star, primarily because I usually hate remakes. I feel like if the original movie was fine, like, we don't really need to remake everything. Sometimes Hollywood just need to come up with some original motherfucking ideas, but people be lazy and they can't be coming up with shit, so they just want to do some shit over again. So fine, whatever. The director of this movie, I'm only noting because I remember him from another TV show that I used to watch. His name is Tate something Stein Sisek or some shit. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm gonna call him Tate. So Tate was on Face Off, which is a special effects makeup reality show that was on Sci-Fi Network. And he was on season 1 where he was a finalist. And I think season 5, he was a finalist. He didn't win, but obviously he has gone on to do great things because now he is directing movies. So I told you the synopsis. My pre-ninja star rating is 1 ninja star. There's no one else in this movie, in the new movie, that I recognize. Like, I don't know any of their names, so it's really kind of irrelevant. So let's get started. So this movie opens with a woman praying, and she's got on like this long red like cape, and she's praying at this altar in this motherfucking castle. And she, like, there's some noise in the background, and so she goes, and it's essentially the motherfucking castle freak is chained up in, I guess, a dungeon. I don't know if it's really a dungeon. She didn't like go downstairs, but in whatever area of the castle she's in, the castle freak is chained up making noise. And so she hit the castle freak with a flock, you know, the cat nine tails thing. And she just like whip it a few times. And then she go back to where she was praying at. She takes her robe off and then she flocks herself, I guess, air quotes, to death, because she kind of pass out. And then there's a person kind of lurking around in the background that you don't see. And then that person lets the castle freak out, or they don't let the castle freak out. They take off the castle freak's chains. You know, the castle freak don't really leave and go off into the town. Well, he do go off into town to be fucking up with people's cattle and sheep and shit. But the castle freak continues to live at the castle after its chains are released. So now we jump to, I don't know, someplace in Europe or America. Young adults at a party. We follow our main character, the Lily White of the group. She's beautiful, young, slim. She kind of reminds me of Keira Knightley. And she's walking in to, it looks like they're in like a big warehouse. So all her friends are hanging out, and her shitty boyfriend, his name is going to be Shitty Boyfriend because he's a shitty motherfucking boyfriend. He is like smiling all up in the face of this other bitch, thirsty bitch, because this bitch is thirsty as fuck. And she is a sin. They damn near kissing when Lily White walk up. So she like, what the fuck? And she says some smart shit. Her and thirsty bitch kind of go back and forth, and then thirsty bitch leave. And then her shitty boyfriend's like, oh, I love it when you're jealous. Like, fuck that. We're not doing that. Like, anyway. So they go join the rest of their crew. Thirsty bitch is a part of a friendship crew. I'm like, we would not be hanging out in a crew. I can't say that because anyway. So they get back to the crew. So they got thirsty bitch. They got the professor, who is essentially like J. Crew. He looks like he walked directly off of a J. Crew ad with, you know, sandy blonde hair, glasses, button down shirt. He's super smart, saying words that you don't really believe he could actually know, but it's fine. Everybody call him the professor. So he the nerd of the group. And then we got 2 token minorities, a token black and a token undetermined race. Shitty boyfriend, Lily White, and thirsty bitch. This is the group. So the professor and token minority, not the black guy, are having a conversation about some shit that, whatever, it's irrelevant. And the rest of them are getting drunk, high. Shitty boyfriend and Lily White doing coke. They turning up drinks, and then they get ready to leave. And she's like, are you straight? And Shitty boyfriend's like, yeah, bitch, I got this. He don't got it. he don't got it. They crash and this bitch is blind. Okay. He blinds her in a drunk driving accident. So we would be done, right? Like, I'm not going to fuck with you after you blinded me in a drunk driving accident. If you blinded me in an accident that was 100% not your fault, we might have an opportunity to keep forth. But if you blinded me in a drunk driving accident that you clearly said you was good, although she should have looked at him and seen he was not good, 20s, whatever. So she blind. Now, in the original movie, the guy who plays the lead character was the father, and he also was a drunk and blinded his daughter in a drunk driving accident. So they kept the blind and just aged up the female lead. So after that happens, the next thing we see is Shitty Boyfriend and Lily White in a taxi in Albania on their way to the castle. And this is when we first see her blind, and they still together, and he's essentially kind of acting as her caretaker. So her mom gave her up for adoption years ago. So she was kind of an orphan. She really didn't have a family, you know. So I'm guessing she just stayed with him because she like, who the fuck else I got? You know, I don't have sisters or brothers or whatever the fuck. So they're on their way to the castle. Her mom died and has left this castle to her. Her mom was the woman who was flogging herself in the beginning, air quotes, to death. So she get there. The realtor's like, hey, here y'all castle. It's beautiful. It's amazing. They looking around. Her boyfriend like, oh, I wish you could see this. It's kind of fucked up. But I mean, I guess he do wish she could see it. And she's like, oh, me too. So the boyfriend and the realtor kind of go off. And the boyfriend's like, yo, what happened to the mom? And he tell him, yeah, this bitch flogged herself to death. And he's like, ow, don't tell my girlfriend. She's going to be real sad about it. And then he's like, look, we want to sell this motherfucker and all the shit in it, like ASAP. The realtor's like, bet, I'm gonna get your shit listed. We're gonna put the shit on the market and then y'all can be the fuck out of here. He was like, cool. So they get back in, you know, they have some emotional times, whatever the fuck, they exploring the house. That night when they're sleeping, Lily White starts having flashbacks and dreams about her mom and her mom's cape. And she's like, I know she had on this red cape and this flashback. And the castle freak has come. So after they got there, castle freak kind of walking around, making noise and shit. And Lily White's like, yo, I hear something in the motherfucking walls. Of course, they discount anything she said because she's blind. Like, she can't see me. She can't fucking hear. She can hear better than all of you guys. If the blind bitch is like, yo, I hear something in the walls, it's probably something in the motherfucking walls. But they ignore her. Well, the realtor ignore her because, spoiler alert, he know about motherfucking castle freak. Anyway, so the boyfriend is like, ignore her. So this night when she's sleeping, dreaming about her mom in this red ass cape, the castle freak has come out behind a wardrobe in a room and is kind of like reaching over her, like about to touch her and shit. And then she wake up and she freak out and castle freak running away. And then her boyfriend wake up and he's like, what? And she's like, somebody was in the room. And he's like, whatever, bitch, you crazy. So I don't like this gaslighting he do to this bitch the entire motherfucking movie. So that's the first night. The second day, they like exploring around and, you know, some more shit happened. I think this might have been the day that she was exploring by herself, but she inadvertently hit a statue that fell over and cut her. But Castle Freak had been watching her, so it came out and stopped the sculpture from falling on her. So while her arm was cut, like, she would have been killed had Castle Freak not saved her. So she was like, oh, something was here. Her boyfriend like, whatever, you just shouldn't be walking around by yourself. And he bandaged her up and yada, yada, yada. He's like, our friends are coming in the next couple of days. So like, you know, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. And she's like, are they really our friends? And he's like, yeah. These are the people they was partying with. They ain't really their friends. Spoiler alert. But that's neither here nor there. So Shitty Boyfriend is real stressed out about the situation. She really doesn't want the friends to come because she know all they like to do is drink and get motherfucking high. And she's like to Shitty Boyfriend, like, yo, you can't get high and drunk no more because you blinded me in a drunk driving accident. And he's like, don't worry about it. I told them that we not drinking or like getting high. So we're going to like just chill. So he happened to find a rack full of old ass wine in the basement of the castle. He didn't drink it yet. So he's trying to be cool, but then he is too stressed out. So he called a realtor and like, yo, I need my medication. Can you help me out? Realtor's like, bet, I got you. I'm gonna send somebody. Okay. So before the drug dealer come, the realtor came back to say what's up at the house. He ended up talking to Lily White a little bit. And she's like, can you tell me about my mom and my dad? And she was like, you know, he was like, I don't know much about your dad, but, you know, your grandfather this was his castle and, you know, your mom was here, and that's all I know. So all she knows is there's a huge painting in the foyer or the dining room with some motherfucking weird, this evil looking ass man, and that's her grandfather. And the realtor didn't tell her shit else. So now, boyfriend done called the realtor for some drugs. The drug dealer comes to the castle. He get him some drugs, and the drug dealer's like, hey, listen, you got this big ass castle. I'm going to do some heroin here before I leave, because I live with my mom and she's a real bitch about me doing heroin in the house, right? Shitty boyfriend's like, no, you need to bounce. Drug dealer pulls out a gun. He's like, no, I'm going to do the heroin here. And shitty boyfriend's like, knock yourself out. So really, he should have motherfucking left is what he should have did. He should have just took his heroin and went home and got high and had to hear his mama's voice. Because now shitty boyfriend leaves him in some random hallway vestibule of the castle, because it is a motherfucking castle. It's not like anybody's going to run into him except for Castle Freak. So Castle Freak comes out after he has shot up his heroin. So he high as fuck. He offered Castle Freak some very nicely. Castle Freak declines and instead takes a syringe and puts it in his eyeball. And Castle Freak actually does not depress the plunger, but I imagine just getting a syringe in the eyeball has got to be pretty terrible. And then Castle Freak takes some other syringes and syringe the drug dealer all the way fuck up until I guess he dies. I guess. Castle Freak makes some noise and goes off. So this night, Lily White is having more dreams and visions of her mom touching herself. This time her mom is touching herself. And so then Lily White starts touching herself while she is having visions of her mom touching herself. And then while this is happening, Castle Freak is watching her touch herself. And then Castle Freak is touching themselves. So Lily White's mom is touching herself in a vision that Lily White is touching herself too, that Castle Freak is touching itself too. Okay, in this night, she busts a big ass nut. Castle Freak busts a big ass nut, and then she wake up screaming, and her boyfriend think that she had a nightmare. He don't know this bitch just bust I was visioning my mom touching herself, touching myself nut. So yeah, so that happened on that night. So the next day, their friend's about to come. They get into a fight about some shit. Her boyfriend start gaslighting her on how bad he feel about him drunk driving and making her blind, making her feel bad about him making her blind. And then they fuck, and they like out in some, you know, area of the castle with a fireplace and shit. And so Castle Freak is watching them fuck, and then Castle Freak touches themselves again. Castle Freak is freaky than a motherfucker in this one, let me tell y'all. In the first Castle Freak, there was not so much sexualness happening, but in this Castle Freak is freaky. Okay. So anyway, nut busting, blah, blah, blah. Next day, the friends come, and mind you, no one has asked about this drug dealer. His mama ain't called, ain't no police came, ain't nobody asked about this motherfucker. He is just gone, missing, and like, that's the fucking end. So the friends finally come, fucking thirsty bitch comes. Lily White is, I didn't know you was motherfucking coming, and that's exactly what I would have said, like, why is this bitch here? Okay, I would have been pissed as fuck. So she comes, everybody else come, Tokens, Professor, and and they're just, when they were searching around the house, just exploring, they found a book, which is apparently the Necronomicon or some old ass, evil ass book that the professor was like, oh, this is priceless. This book is amazing. So he reading the shit. So him and Lily White get all wrapped up in this book, and shitty boyfriend, the Tokens, and thirsty bitch go into town to see about selling the shit. When they get into town, the townspeople like, it's a motherfucking Castle Freak in that house, and y'all need to get the fuck out of there because it's gonna kill everybody. It's cursed. We thought when the lady of the house of the castle died that the curse would have died with it, but it didn't. Now Castle Freak been killing all our motherfucking animals. And they like, whatever, y'all crazy townspeople, y'all don't know what y'all talking about. They leave. They get back to the castle. Lily White and a professor are exploring around the house. So they about to go explore. Shitty boyfriend is like mad about the book and that they fucking with the book. And he's just like, you know, he been doing drugs now that he got his stash from the drug dealer. So he's just ready to check out. Like, he really want to go back to his old life of drinking and drugging and partying and having a good time. But he feel bad because he had blinded somebody. So, you know, he's like constrained. You know what I'm saying? So now that somebody else is entertaining Lily White, shitty boyfriend can now do what the fuck he want to do, which is crack open these bottles of old ass wine, start drinking that shit. Somebody snuck some coke from America or wherever the fuck they came from to Albania in their ass. So now they doing ass coke. So they doing ass coke. Thirsty bitch is like, ooh, you should show me around the castle. So thirsty bitch and shitty boyfriend go off somewhere to fucking fuck. And the tokens is like, oh, how come he gets all the girls? And one of them's like, he has a castle. First of all, he doesn't have a castle. His girlfriend has a castle. Whatever. So thirsty bitch and shitty boyfriend go off. They find some room. They making out and shit. She got him snorting coke off her little titties. And then this room they in just so happens to have, you know, arm shackles on the headboard. So she shackle him up and then she take her panties off and she put her panties over his face like a blindfold. I'm gonna say this as a woman who has panties. I don't think I have any panties that are so thick that you could legitimately not see through them as if they were a real blindfold. Like you could see something. You could also kind of move your head around because what's about to happen next is something that I don't believe could happen no matter how drunk or high you were. So panty blindfold, arm shackles, this is a shitty boyfriend, thirsty bitch on top. You know, she pulls his pants down. She starts sucking his dick. Castle Freak is watching, okay, because Castle Freak is freaky. And when some freaky shit is going down, Castle Freak wants to be around. So Castle Freak is watching this happening. She get him some head, and then she get on top and she start riding him. Now, this they showing a lot, okay? Now, they wasn't, you know, obviously they wasn't fucking, but they show a lot. This is like straight up 80s horror movie nudity in this, you know, fucking in this shit, which was great. Anyway, so Castle Freak watched them fuck. And I guess this is turning Castle Freak on. And she's like, listen, oh, I'm about to tell y'all, Castle Freak's a girl. Spoiler alert. Castle Freak's like, I want some of that. So Castle Freak come out. Claws out thirsty bitch's throat, just like kills this bitch immediately, pulls her off and kills her like in two swipes. And then shitty boyfriend said, oh, where you go? Don't stop. Where'd you go? Don't stop. So the Castle Freak starts sucking his dick. Now listen, Castle Freak's mouth is disgusting. It's beyond disgusting. Like there are no words to describe how disgusting it is. You have to assume Castle Freak is a being that has been living in this castle chained up for at least 20 to 30 years. Never going outside, not seeing a dentist because it's a freak. So Castle Freak's also got to smell bad, but he don't smell it. He don't smell it and he don't notice this weird ass Castle Freak mouth on his dick. Castle Freak suck his dick, kind of get in his face a little bit, breathe this Castle Freak breath in his face. Okay. But I guess he kind of got the panties over his nose, I guess. So then Castle Freak, who has a low abdominal vagina, so kind of like right at the place where your pubic hair is where Castle Freak's vagina is. It's big and it's all the way to the top of the pubic hair region, you know, all the way down. And then Castle Freak with its stomach vagina gets on top of shitty boyfriend and fucks the shit out of him. And he takes it. He takes that fucking, he does not act as if he is being raped. He being raped, but he don't know he being raped, but he being motherfucking raped. And Castle Freak busts a big ass nut, and then Castle Freak go on like, whoo, whoo, thank you. Yes. I mean, Castle Freak just really needed a cigarette. So he day in there, chained the fuck up. You know, after a while, no one's coming, obviously. So he starts screaming because he think this bitch fucked him and bounced. And then the tokens come and they see he all bloody as fuck and they unchain him. And then they look to the side of the bed and they see thirsty bitch is motherfucking killed. So they like, oh, shit. Lily White was right when she was talking about a motherfucking castle Freak living in the walls. We need to kill this motherfucker. Let's go get some weapons and find the person that killed thirsty bitch right now. So they drunk and high and they decide we need to go find the person that killed thirsty bitch. Meanwhile, Lily White and the professor have been rummaging through the house. They went through a secret passage and they in the back halls of the castle. trying to figure out what's going on. Professor hears a noise. It's Castle Freak coming back from busting that big ass nut. So he goes out, leaves Lily White, the blind chick, to go investigate the noise. He got the book and shit. He run into Castle Freak like, hey, Castle Freak. Hey, girl, I learned all about you in this book. And I just want to know, like, what's up? So Castle Freak has a tentacle that shoots out from its stomach vagina, wraps around a professor's throat, and chokes the knowledge into him. He have a flashback or a memory or whatever. The knowledge is being choked into this motherfucker. Essentially, Lily White's grandfather was in a cult. That cult was trying to bring back the super evil one. In order to bring back the super evil one, he had to sacrifice his daughter, who had to have sex with the OG Castle Freak. And after he nutted in her, he died, but then he impregnated her with twins that once the twins was born and grown to a certain age, they time, they touch hands and it bring back the super evil one. So the twins was Lily White and motherfucking Castle Freak. So the mom did not want to bring back the super evil one. So she gave Lily White up for adoption. So she would be gone and her sister can never be together to touch hands on the right day, moment, time to bring back super evil one. But so we also found out, I forgot to tell y'all, that at some point the realtor had come back to the house. Castle Freak had caught him and chained him up in the basement. So now when the tokens and shitty boyfriend is off trying to find the Castle Freak, they get some weapons, they do some more coke, they turned up, they split up. The tokens go off somewhere. After Castle Freak choked the knowledge into the professor, she run off, she run into the tokens, she fucking killed both of them. And then the realtor, they before she killed them, the realtor, they found a realtor and they let him out. So the tokens is together, shitty boyfriend and the realtor are together. She killed the tokens. And then realtor and shitty boyfriend are off somewhere. And then realtor reveals to shitty boyfriend, yeah, I'm the one who let the fucking Castle Freak out because I'm in this motherfucking coat and I'm trying to bring the super evil one back. And your house ain't motherfucking listed because I'm just here for the super evil one. So he tried to fight motherfucking shitty boyfriend, and then Castle Freak come, beat him the fuck up, and then shitty boyfriend and Castle Freak start fighting, right? So Professor had, you know, revealed a lot of shit to Lily White, and, you know, she has some vision. So she essentially know that Castle Freak is her sister at this point. They on the roof of the castle for some reason. So shitty boyfriend and Castle Freak fighting. The realtor dead. The token's dead. We don't know what happened to the professor. He had just got the knowledge choked in him, and we don't know where he at this point. And then Lily White has now found them. She has followed the noise and she hear them fighting and she's like, shitty boyfriend, it's my sister. So she don't want him to kill her sister. So she kind of like distracts him from the fighting. But then he get mad at her like, oh, fuck Castle Freak. Then he tried to kill her. But then somehow it was a mace laying around from an earlier fight that she manages to pick up and she fucking kills shitty boyfriend. Okay. So shitty boyfriend dead. She's standing there with Castle Freak, and Castle Freak's like, and you know, she go over to Castle Freak, and I guess they kind of touch hands or some shit. I don't fucking know. But then a professor comes back. He is not dead. He had got the knowledge choked in him, and he is excited about, you know, cults and the knowledge and shit. So I think he like reads some words and they touch hands like right at the right time at a moment and place and stars and shit. And then, you know, lightning strikes and the clouds get all purpley and shit. And then Castle Freak's stomach tentacle kind of shoot out. And then Lily White, some shit squeech out from between her legs. And it looks like a giant eyeball is about to be born of this bitch. Like apparently the super evil one is coming through this bitch's vagina. She did not know she was pregnant with the super evil one. But her and her sister touch hands at the right moment, time, and place. And then this motherfucker is coming. So the movie goes off. Credits. There's a post-credit. In the post-credit, the professor is somewhere back in America, I guess. He runs into an office, opens the door. He's got the book. And he's like, Professor West. Now, in the original Castle Freak, the guy who played Jeffrey Combs, the guy who played essentially shitty boyfriend, but he was shitty husband. He was also in another set of movies called the Reanimator series. And in the Reanimator, he's a crazy doctor Herbert West, who creates a serum that brings people back to life. So when he busts into the office and he's like, Dr. West, he happens to have a vial on his desk of green liquid. So I guess they're trying to tie these two series of movies together. But the guy they had playing Dr. West was not the guy. It was not Combs. It was some other dude. So maybe they couldn't get him at his price, or they saving all the money for him for the next movie or whatever. But that's it, y'all. That was the end of Motherfucking Castle Freak. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, I actually liked it much better than I thought it would. I mean, I didn't really give a shit if anybody died. I couldn't believe that Lily White stayed with her shitty ass boyfriend after he drunk driving and made her blind. But, you know, I guess when you don't really have a lot of people or a lot of network, you know, you do what you got to do. So, but the special effects were fantastic, which makes sense since Tate did almost win Face Off twice. And it kind of kept the story moving. Like, it didn't really drag in any places. It wasn't like too long-winded. I mean, the professor was terrible. I'm gonna be honest. He was fucking terrible. The dude they had being him, there's no way you would believe this guy was this smart to have all this knowledge. Like, it's just not happening. He reminded me of Eric from CSI Miami. I'm like, you too fine to be this science smart. I'm just not buying it. So outside of the professor not being that great, and maybe his acting just wasn't good enough to make me believe it, but I just couldn't buy it. I would have maybe given it 5 stars if it wasn't for the shitty professor, but because of that, I'm giving it a 4. I mean, the fucking stomach pussy was incredible. It had tentacles shooting out of that shit. The Castle Freak was nasty as fuck. I cannot believe the Castle Freak raped a dude and he didn't even know he was getting raped. Like, that's probably like the worst rape. I also can't believe he did not smell Castle Freak. Castle Freak's vagina had to smell awful. Awful enough to penetrate some thin ass panties on your face. Like, come on. But anyway, I still liked it. I enjoyed it. Would recommend. If you got Shudder and you want like an interesting, crazy shit to watch, like, obviously there's a lot of points where you like, seriously, but when you get past all that, the special effects, the action, I enjoyed it. I give my post and just star rating of Castle Freak 4 stars. I hope you enjoy. And we're back. All right. I'm going to tell y'all about Anything for Jackson. This was made in 2020 or released in 2020. Again, also on Shudder. It has 4 out of 5 stars on Amazon Prime and 6.5 out of 10 stars on IMDb. Here is the synopsis. After losing their only grandchild in a car accident, an elderly couple kidnaps a pregnant woman to perform a reverse exorcism in order to bring him back to life. So, my pre-Ninja Star rating of this movie is 1 star because of how pissed off I am at these grandparents for even trying this bullshit. It's a movie, of course, but just the fact that they would have the audacity to try this shit, I already hated them. So I gave it a 1 to start just because I was already mad at the people in this motherfucking movie. So let's get started. We open up with a grandma and a granddad in their kitchen, kind of having breakfast. And they just having like, you know, we've been married for 30 years, banter, talking shit to each other, blah, blah, blah. And so grandma's like, oh, she's early. And then they both kind of run outside as though they had an appointment. They're waiting for somebody. And she's a little bit early today. And they get outside. And you just see the shot is just of the hallway. You just see them run outside and you don't know what's happening. And then the next thing you see is grandma and granddad dragging a pregnant woman inside their house. So I had assumed that there would be like some buildup, but they start right off with the kidnapping. Like, the whole movie is that part, which I actually appreciate. So it's definitely not thrillery, right? So they get, grandma hits this bitch in the head a couple times, get her upstairs, and they tie her up. So we got pregnant woman. We probably will call her Pregos, grandma and grandpa, and there's a few other cast of characters that we'll see throughout the film. The pregnant woman, like, there's a little adorable little kid who's kind of like hitting her in the face, you know, just kind of tapping her in the face, on her mouth, essentially just trying to get her to wake up. And she sees this little kid and he's so cute and he run off and playing. And then grandma's like, hey, girl, I know we got you kidnapped, but listen, we are not trying to kill you. We don't want to hurt you or the baby. We just need to put our dear grandson's spirit in your baby. And she was like, I'm sorry, what? And she's like, yeah. Our dear grandson, we just need to put his spirit in your baby. And it's like all good. And she was like, wait, you talking about that little boy over there? So the grandma's like, you can see him? So the little boy is Jackson. Him is dead. And the grandma's very excited that Pregos can see him because apparently that means something or some shit and blase ski. So she real excited about it. She go tell grandpa, she can see him. It's great. He's like, yeah, this is amazing. So he's like, maybe I should just stay home today. And she's like, no, I got it. She all changed the fuck up. We have to keep up like routines. We don't want anything to look weird. So you go on here to work and, you know, we'll be good. So he needed to go to work. The snow removal guy had come to do the snow and he was like, yo, my wife's sick. Like, she not in the mood for like this snow shit today. So just like come back another time. So he leave. So he gets to work. He is a doctor. I guess he's an OBGYN. I'm not 100% sure, but he's a doctor. And his nurse is telling him about his schedule. One of his patients comes and he is like losing his shit. And so the doctor is trying to see him immediately and he's causing a ruckus. And the nurse is like, hey, what about your appointment this morning? Which is for the pregos who they got currently in their upstairs room. I should also mention they did a test to see if you could hear. They had soundproofed the room so that she could scream and make all kinds of noise. You can't hear that shit outside. Anyway, so the nurse is like, yo, what about your appointment with Pregos? I thought she was coming this morning. It's in the book. And he was like, oh, no. She canceled it. I saw her this morning. She canceled. It's fine. So he is at work for the rest of the day. He leave, he get home, and grandma is like, hey, check out this thing I learned I could do today. So she takes this old ass book that they have, an evil ass book that they shouldn't motherfucking have. She got this old ass evil book and she take him outside and it's like a dead crow in the yard. And so she cut her finger, she drips some blood on a crow, and then she opened a book and she reads some words and then a crow come back to life. And the grandpa is like, what the fuck is that? And she's like, well, I had to see if it worked. Like, I had to practice it. And he was like, but should you be doing that? And she was like, well, I've been doing it all morning. So if I shouldn't, yeah. So grandma's crazy. Okay. All right. So now. That day, they pretty much get right. Oh, after that evening, they go to, because they have to keep up appearances. They really don't want to leave. Prego's in the house by herself, but she changed up. They got her sedated or whatever the fuck. So they're going to a meeting at their community center. So when they get there, this dude who looks nothing less but like Satan's play cousin, but he got a ginger. He's got red hair. So he's like, you know, he's kind of like an evil leprechaun. Yes. So evil leprechaun, he's like talking to them about this book. And he's like, I haven't been able to find it. The person who I thought had it said blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, okay, don't worry about it. So grandma's like, you asked him about the book? And he was like, yeah, that was before we found it. I knew if anybody would have a lead on it, it would probably be him. So turns out they're at a Satan worshiping meeting at the local community center because, hey, anyone can have a meeting and they're free to do so. Led by the girlfriend of Evil Leprechaun. So they had a meeting. They leave. They go back to the house. When they get back to the house, they pull the book out and now they're about to do a ritual, essentially whatever the ritual they feel like they need to re-pronounce to put the spirit of their grandson Jackson into the baby of this pregnant lady they got chained up in a house. So they read some words, they do a thing, a ritual, some shit happened, and then the grandma's like, it's him, he's in there. So for whatever reason now, she think that, you know, Jackson is in his baby now. So essentially what had happened when they had read these words, which we're going to find out when we get closer to the end, is that they invited any spirit that was listening, I guess, to come and try to inhabit the body of a person that was currently in their house. Like if you are in their house, you are in danger of a spirit trying to possess you because they invited all of the motherfucking spirits. They thought they was just inviting Jackson, but you can't really just be like, hey, Jackson only. You know, you say some words, Jackson's name wasn't in these words you read, so you just told all the spirits they can motherfucker come. So after that, essentially, they all get motherfucking haunted in the house. So they assume it's going to take a few days for motherfucking Jackson for this shit to come or for them to know it worked or for her to go into labor, and I guess they're going to kill her and keep the baby or whatever the fuck. So first, the granddad gets haunted by an old grandma spirit that's flossing her teeth to death. Like she flossing her teeth so hard, they all popping out of her face. She's getting haunted by that. The pregnant woman, Pregos, is getting haunted by an upside down, backwards ghost who's trying to get into the baby. And then the grandma is haunted by the ghost of her daughter. So backstory, the car accident that killed Jackson and also Jackson's mom didn't die in an accident. Grandma was driving. They get into an accident. Jackson dies immediately. And Jackson's mom is either paralyzed or handicapped, or this bitch is just fucked up. And so she's living in a house with grandma and grandpa. They try to do everything they can, you know, to make shit better for her. But she's sad because her baby died and her mama killed him. So she kills herself. And so now grandma is all fucked up because not only did she kill her grandson, she also feels responsible for her daughter killing herself as a result of her killing her grandson. So she just went way off the deep end in the other direction and just delved into Satanism. So she's being haunted by the ghost of her daughter because when she was a little kid, she would always dress up as a ghost for Halloween. So it's like every door she go to would just be like a ghost, like trick or treat, bitch. She don't say bitch, but you know, trick or treat, bitch. So they all got that ghost that's haunting them in the house and they like, shit, this is getting intense. Then the snow removal guy comes back. He ends up telling grandpa that, because grandpa's like, yo, I called your wife and like canceled like this motherfucking snow removal. And he's like, yeah, listen, turns out me and my wife are, shit's not good. This bitch kicked me out and I really just need to like shovel some motherfucking snow. Like I just need to shovel some snow. So he essentially forces them to allow him to shovel some snow. They tell him to leave, but he just shoveled the snow anyway. But because he's on a property and it's a whole bunch of spirits in that shit, a spirit get in him and shoves his head into the snow blower and chop his head the fuck up. So he dies. So grandpa got to go get his body up out the front lawn. I feel like their neighbor should have seen something, you know, like, but don't nobody see nothing. Get him about the front yard, drive his truck out to the woods somewhere, horribly bury him. His burying was terrible. Bury him, grandma getting haunted, he run back to the house. So they just kind of get haunted back and forth, all three of them. And then Pregos is trying to form a bond with grandma and just be like, yo, listen, you don't really have to kill me. Like, I could help you guys. Like, you could put Jackson and my baby and I would just be like Jackson's mom and just be around like y'all motherfucking old and y'all not gonna really be able to do a bunch of shit. So she really trying to work on her, you know, sympathies and see if she could get her to agree to not kill her. Like, y'all could keep Jackson, but she's like, y'all could keep me in a room. Like, y'all don't have to, you know, I don't have to be like out and shit. I ain't gonna tell nobody. I just don't want y'all to kill me. So, you know, that's what she's working for. That's what she's trying to, you know, appease to her size. In the meantime, they still get haunted as fuck. And then also now it's been a few days and the police are investigating the disappearance of Pregos. So they go to the clinic and that's when the nurse is like, oh, remember you said she canceled her appointment. You said you saw her. She said it in front of the cop. The cop is like suspicious as fuck. Grandpa's like, oh shit. So then like the next day, the cop is calling him like, yo, I'm about to come to the house and like, I want to talk to you at the house. So this was the same day. Oh, this was the day that grandma was calling him because she was sad. And then he also was like, oh shit, the motherfucking cops is coming to the house. So he's on his way back to the house from burying shallowly the motherfucking lawn snow removal guy. The police are on the way to the house. Grandma just had a fucking vision of her daughter. She just had a haunting situation, and a cop shows up. When Grandpa gets home, the cop has got Grandma handcuffed on the floor in the room with the pregnant woman. Like, I knew some fucking shit was going on. And she's telling Grandpa, you need to get down on the ground. Get down on the ground. So she got him held, get down on the ground. The pregnant woman is losing her shit. The cop looks over to her and she's like, yo, chill, bitch. I'm about to get you out of here. You're going to be fine. It's going to be okay. And then the cop, a motherfucking ghost spirit gets in her and jumps into her body. You don't see it. All you just see her telling the girl, like, be chill. I got this. And then she kills herself. The cop does. Kills her own self. And so now, Grandpa, this is before she had an opportunity to handcuff or chain up Grandpa. So he get up and now they got to get rid of this fucking body. So, and now that snow removal guy and cop have murdered themselves inside the house, they are now ghosts of the house and they continue to haunt them also. So at various moments, the cop will walk into the room or walk someplace in the house and just kill herself. And so they are often just startled by this random gunshot of this cop ghost killing herself over and over again in a motherfucking house because they invited all of these motherfucking spirits in here, right? So now they like, shit, we have had enough of these spirits we invited to come into our house. Let us go ask evil leprechaun if he know what to do. So they go get motherfucking evil leprechaun. They bring him over. They show him the motherfucking book. They tell him all the shit. And he pretty much is like, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? You stupid idiots, right? He's like, you guys did the first part of the ritual, but you didn't do the second part. He's the one who tells them that y'all invited all of these motherfucking spirits into your house. Spirits don't give a shit about whose body they go in. They just in here trying to get into anybody that's weak enough to allow them to, you know, take over, which is why a lot of them trying to get into the baby. But he like, they'll take y'all motherfuckers too. Like, it's just anybody. So he tell them, listen, I'll do the rest of the ritual for you. For $10,000 and the book afterwards because I'm evil as fuck. I'm evil as fuck. So he wants the evil book. They like bet. He's like, all right, I need to go to my house and do some shit. Y'all like get the shit ready. I'll be back tonight. We're going to do this motherfucking thing. You know, y'all been disrespecting the super evil Satan master. I'm about to get y'all straight. So he go back to his house. He planned, you know, loud ass satanic music. His mom screaming at him and shit. He's like, shut the fuck up, mom. It was, I pretty much assumed that he killed his mom at this point. We do find out he did, but not until after, was it after he did the ceremony or right before the fucking ceremony? So he leaves, he gets to their house. He tell them they got to do all this shit. You know, they preparing for the fucking ceremony. And the woman, his ex-girlfriend who ran the satanic club at the community center is like blowing Grandpa's phone up, like calling him, calling him, calling him. He finally answers and she's like, yo, motherfucking evil leprechaun killed his mom this morning. The police have been questioning me and shit. She was like, I don't even really believe in that shit. I just was looking for something fun to do and to, like, piss my parents off. This motherfucker is all about Satan for life. So Grandpa's like, oh shit, we got this motherfucker in our house. He's doing this motherfucking ritual. He's trying to bring about Satan. Like, he say some words. He had told them, listen, y'all gonna have to kill her essentially to make all of this happen. Like, you're gonna have to trade, you know, a life for a life. So just FYI. So another point before the fucking ritual happened is when granddad told pregnant girl, you know, he pretty much only doing this for grandma. Like, he loved his bitch to the ends of the earth. He know that this Satan shit is kind of like, eh, but she went off the deep end and he just went with her. So he's just there to do whatever he can to, you know, keep grandma, whatever the fuck. So now they at the ritual. At another point during the movie, Pregos was able to get one of her hands free through a series of events, but just one hand she got free. So she's pretending to still be chained up so that she can make her escape because the other hand she still got to work on. So he's doing a ritual. They say the words. It's grandma and grandpa.
granddad gets the call from the girlfriend and she like, this motherfucker crazy. Granddad kind of look at him like, wait a minute, hold the fuck. You know, he kind of give a look. He not sure. Pregnant girl kind of get loose. They kind of tussling and fighting, but she still got one arm connected. Grandma turn, get loose some kind of way. And then evil leprechaun stabs grandma, right? Oh, before he stabbed grandma, when she got her arm loose, she had a piece of glass. And so she was threatening to kill grandma. And she was telling grandpa, look, this is pregnant girl. She was telling him, look, I know that you really love her over all else. Like, give me the keys and I won't kill this bitch. And the evil leprechaun is like, fuck that. Don't give this bitch the keys. But, you know, Pregos knows that granddad love grandma over anything. So I think he let her legs go or some shit. He get the keys. She toss her the keys. When she get loose, evil leprechaun stabs grandma. And so grandma is dying and grandpa loses his shit. While he's losing his shit and Pregos is trying to undo herself with the keys, another ghost comes in and swipes up evil leprechaun and takes him the fuck off somewhere. So she get loose. The evil backwards monster come again, try to get her, like a super Satan monster come, try to get her. A whole bunch of ghosts is here, try to get her. Did she kill grandpa or did the ghost kill grandpa? Did the devil do kill grandpa? The devil do, it doesn't matter. Grandpa gets killed. She run out the house. The monster that took evil leprechaun, it kind of looked like he fucking him. He might be killing him, but it kind of looked like he fucking him. He may already be dead. It matters not. Evil leprechaun gets fucked up. She managed to get the keys. She managed to get out the house. Like, she get attacked all the way. The snow removal dude is out in the yard. He like attacking her and shit, but she managed to get free. She get in a car, she drive away. She drive down into the woods. And then she gets so far down in her drive, she sees a monster, essentially, like Satan, I guess, like crossing the street far down the way. You know, like she stopped and she's like, what is that? Is that like Satan? Like far down, you know, the way. And Satan just kind of very gingerly crosses the street and then disappears. And we had seen this Satan earlier times after they had said the words, the shit in the book, you know, and part of the haunting, Satan had popped up here and there and shit, but he wasn't like hanging out the whole time. He was just like, I'm here for a second and I'm out. So I don't know if it had to be a certain daytime, moment, place, you know, that for Satan to get into the body. But as soon as he crossed the street and disappeared into the woods, then she looked down at her belly, which was all bloody and shit. And I guess she felt something. And then the movie went off. So I feel like the words they said did get a spirit in her, just not the one they wanted. And everybody else motherfucking died. And that was it. These old people... This old woman primarily was so caught up in the grief of killing her grandchild, which was an accident, but it was still at her hands, which then resulted in the death of her daughter, plummeted so deep down in depression and denial that this bitch became a motherfucking Satanist, kidnapped someone else. Two other people died as a result, separate of her and her husband, a police officer and the snow removal guy. And now this pregnant woman got Satan in her belly and they dead. Forever probably doomed to haunt this house because this bitch couldn't deal with the grief of what she had done. It's like, yes. So that was this motherfucking anything for Jackson. Now, I hated the grandparents the whole time. Like, you did feel a little bit of sympathy for them at some point, like when a grandma, when you find out that it was her fault and you like, I see how you could be in this place. You know, I could see the overwhelming guilt of that and how hard it would be to reconcile that in your mind, especially when a daughter killed herself at their home too. So like she essentially felt like she killed her daughter and her grandchild. I get all of that. However, the steps under which they have taken, like the plan, they spent like the entire retirement, you know, plan money to buy the book. Granddad had to go to Jerusalem and meet some seedy dude in some alley somewhere behind a fucking church. It's, you know, some dangerous ass shit to get this book to say these words. But you don't even know what the fuck you fucking with. Like,
Don't say the words of a book that you have to get from a seedy person in an alley behind a church in Jerusalem. You ain't supposed to say the words in that book. Those is not, if you cannot get this book at the library or on Amazon or maybe like BarnesandNoble.com or some other reputable place that you could purchase a book, like I understand books that are rare to find, but if you have to get it from an alley and behind a church in Jerusalem, it's probably, if it's the only way to get this book, don't get the book. And if you get the book, don't say the words in the book. Just saying. So they kind of got what they deserved. I feel a little bad for saying it, but I kind of don't. Because they should have no business doing this shit in the first fucking place. And they should have left well enough alone. And this bitch should have just went to therapy. And she got all of the fucking counseling and got on Zoloft and Prozac and all of the fucking drugs that she needed to get on to get fucking over it and not bring these other people into it. Because now this pregnant woman got a double baby in her stomach. And what's she supposed to do with that? She gonna go to that, she could go to therapy after. She gonna be like, yeah, I'm raising a devil baby. Nobody's gonna believe her. The doctors aren't going to be like, oh yeah, you got a devil baby, until the devil baby do some devilly shit. And then they're going to think she did it. They're not going to think it was her devil baby. Like, this whole shit's all fucked up. So the movie was good, but I'm still mad at these old ass people for fucking this lady up and not giving her a devil baby she didn't fucking want. She didn't even want the baby in the first place, but then after she was pregnant, she was like, you know what? Like, all right, I'm going to make this happen. I really don't have a lot of family, which is why they chose her in the first place. So I'm going to go ahead and make this baby happen. The dad wasn't involved. All of this bullshit. So they picked her because she had had nobody and that no one essentially would miss her. But they was wrong. People did miss her. And that's how come the cop got on their trail in the first place. But, you know, the cop ended up killing herself because of their fuck asses inviting all of these demons into their damn house. Anyway, so my post ninja star rating, I'm going to give it a 3 because the movie was good. But I'm mad. I guess I should give it a 4 because it was so good that it made me mad. 5. Fuck it. I'm going to give it a 4 because it was so good. It made me mad. I was mad before, though. I'm going to still give it a 4. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it. The ghost was pretty spooky. Not overly spooky, but pretty spooky. It made some very tense moments. And, you know, all of the acting was great with all of the actors. You really did feel like the grandparents was just at the end of their ropes. And, you know, I mean, it was fucked up. It was just like a sad situation. I just got more fucked up by Satan. So don't buy books from the back of churches and alleys in Jerusalem. Don't say the words in the books. And get therapy. So those are the lessons from Anything for Jackson. Again, 4 ninja stars. We got two 4 ninja star movies. Castle Freak and Anything for Jackson. This should tell you a lot about the type of movies I like. Teehee. If you enjoyed this episode, then, you know, listen to the next one. And if you didn't, don't listen to the next one. Like, if you did not like this shit, don't listen again. If you want to recommend a movie for me to watch that you want me to tell you about, you can send me an email at ghostandraccoon@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ghostandraccoon. Or on Letterboxd, ghostandraccoon. I think it's no O, 1 C for ghost and raccoon. Whatever. Figure it out on your own. But I hope that you take a listen. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And I hope everyone stays safe out there. Until next time, peace out.